I'd like to thank Bill for the songs that he is leading, and Drum for the prayer, and the rest of the men who are participating in the service this morning for their duties. If you hear anything this morning that you may question or have doubt about, please see me or someone who you might be comfortable with. Bring it to their attention or my attention. We will sit down with an open Bible, which is the ultimate authority on religious matters, and we will come up with an answer from God's Word. Let's remember all of those who were mentioned and all of those who are in our bulletin who are in need of prayer. There are a number of people who are in need of prayer. So let's keep them in our prayers this week. Have you heard it said that the person with the most toys wins? I've heard that several times. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about that, just out of curiosity's sake. So as we begin the sermon this morning, please turn again to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let us look at the context of this scripture. At 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 8. In verse 8, Paul says, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Why do you think that is? Why do you think he can make a bold statement like that? Why? Because of his faith in Christ Jesus. Now drop down to verse 13. Verse 13. "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Chapter 5 and verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So, if you are one who believed that the person with the most toys wins, what do you say now? What was Paul saying here? He's saying faith is our remedy against fainting in times of trouble. They believed in Christ's resurrection, and they believed that they would be resurrected when he returned. And this belief encourages the Christian yet today in times of trouble and sets us above the fear of death. The sufferings of Christ's saints is also for the good of the church and to God's glory. Knowing knowing that we will have eternal life and happiness. In this reading, the grievous trials that would be heavy and long would be light and short because of their faith. So if Paul could call his heavy and long continued trials light, and but for a moment, what must our trifling difficulties be? Think about that. Anything that we have gone through in this life or are facing now are very, very minor compared to what Paul went through and what he suffered. Faith enables us to make this right judgment of things. Listen to me closely. There are unseen things as well as things that are seen. And there is this vast difference between them. Unseen things are eternal. Seen things are just temporary. So let us look away from the things that are seen and stop looking for worldly advantages or fearing present distresses. Let us give diligence to make our future happiness sure by securing those things that are eternal. It has been said, these are times that try men's souls. The last 80 years have witnessed cataclysmic changes in human affairs, and these changes have led to rapid progress and development. And during this time, we have been in an era of material prosperity and peace on our home front. Events of the past few years have shattered this glorious dream. Depression, poverty, unemployment, and consequent social revolution are stumbling over each other in rapid succession. And now the world is in a desperate struggle for its very existence. In spite of 50 centuries of practice, it appears that man has learned little about how to live usefully and happily in this present world. What will remain after this tempest is done? What will be left when we get through destroying what little bit of right that is left in our society and in the world? What are the eternal things? Well, just what are the eternal things? There are always two separate and often conflicting sets of values. These are, one, the immediate values, and two, the ultimate values. Those who clearly distinguish between these two sets of values will gain tremendously in the battle to hold fast to eternal things. This distinction is reasonably simple. For example, a small boy with ragged trousers and a hungry stomach passes by a fruit stand. He sees a shiny red apple, and he has no money to buy the apple. If he gets it, it will be necessary to steal, and in deciding whether to steal the apple or to go hungry, he must make this distinction between immediate and ultimate values. Immediately, it would be more satisfying to take and eat the apple. Physically, he would feel better. Yet, there are more permanent values involved than this immediate hunger. To take the apple would be at the expense of honesty, integrity, and decency. It might easily be the first step in a criminal career that could end up in spending the rest of his life behind bars or even being put to death. Young people and old alike are constantly confronted with this same decision. They are tempted to gather the rosebuds while they may, or to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Those who dare to do it will lose the ultimate values of morality and personal purity. It is essential, then, that the intelligent Christian distinguish the ultimate values from immediate values. So the questions reoccur. What will remain after this tempest is done? What will we have after the present storm of war and strife is over? What are the eternal things? Well, remember what Paul said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 that was read for your hearing? For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want you to remember that today. If you get nothing else from this lesson, remember that. The things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. Those who cling to the immediate values of wealth, sensual pleasure, physical ease, and worldly position will lose eternal life and will lose the eternal values that go with eternal life. Literature, both sacred and profane, is replete with confirmations of this statement Paul made, that things which are seen are temporary. James Fenimore Cooper, famous author of the Leather Stocking Tales, said, "It is the destiny of all things to ripen and then decay." Job, who was troubled on every side, poured forth these mournful words in Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. "Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue." In Psalms 90, David speaks of the swiftness with which the years roll by. Psalm 90, verses 4 through 6. He says, "Therefore, 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like glass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers." Psalm 90 and verse 10. "The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. It is soon cut off and we fly away." Psalm 90 verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And then in Psalm 144 and verse 4, David said, "Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow." Reminds us of the lines penned by William Cullen Bryant. And he said, "As shadows cast by cloud the sun, flit over the summer grass, so in thy sight, Almighty One, earth's generations pass." And James reminds man in James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, that he must be humble in view of the frailty of the flesh. Verse 9, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. so the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. He also reemphasizes the uncertainty of life there in chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. He says there, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." And Peter adds these words in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. He says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Why? Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you." Then he tells us in 2 Peter chapter 8, beginning in verse 8, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening, hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." Jesus shocked his Jewish hearers by predicting the destruction of the magnificent temple, which was the heart of the Hebrew nation. Listen to what is said there in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2. "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" A famous poet, William Knox, has said, "'Tis the twink of an eye, 'tis the draught of a breath, from the blossom of health to the paleness of death. From the gilded saloon to the bier and the shroud, oh, why should the spirit of mortal be proud? Indeed, the brightest glories that earth can boast just glisten, then are gone. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. The ultimate destiny of this generation and of all generations to come does not depend on our productive capacity or our striking power. The immediate future may well depend on these purely temporal things. but the final future does not. Physical power, which we are so dependent on, will not and cannot decide eternal issues. The trust which we so complacently put in material things is misplaced. Let me give you an example. There once lived an old man who owned several hundred acres of river bottom land. We will call him Uncle Tom, for he was a typical old Southern gentleman. Uncle Tom was past his 80th year. His physical frame was stooped and feeble. At best, his sojourn on earth could only be a few more days. Early one autumn, Uncle Tom felt sick, desperately sick. In view of his advanced age and enfeebled condition, there was no hope for him to recover. Uncle Tom was not a Christian. To use his own words, he handled his religion by proxy through his wife. He was not a bad man, as men go. He was a stable, reliable, honest citizen who was so interested in the affairs of this life that he took no interest in the eternal things. During his last illness, a gospel preacher visited Uncle Tom. He tried in vain to arouse some spark of interest in religion in Uncle Tom's heart. Even in those fading moments of his life, this preacher thought that he had made some progress and was just about to leave the old man. And he raised up feebly on his elbow and said, "Preacher, I'm worried almost to death. I want you to do something for me." The preacher's face lightened up. Then Uncle Tom said, "Preacher, the backwater is rising and I have got 300 acres of corn that must be gathered in the next few days or it will ruin. I want you to go down and see Jim Jones, who runs my riverland, and tell him to get that corn out before the backwater gets it." Then Uncle Tom fell back exhausted, and the preacher was bitterly disappointed. Poor old man, with only a few days at most to live, he could think of nothing but river bottom corn. He thought those 300 acres of corn to be very important. In reality, they were about the least important thing in his life at that moment. Yeah, the things which are seen are temporary. How many of you are putting all of your concern and thought into something that is material, something that is only temporary? It's not the person with the most toys who wins. It's the person with the most treasures laid up in heaven who's going to win in the final judgment. The story I just told you about Uncle Tom reminds me of the story in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, which is similar in many respects. There was a foolish rich man who thought up to the very last that a program of bigger and better barns was more important than anything else in the world. Not until it was too late did the foolish rich man realize that the things which are seen are temporary and the things which are not seen are eternal. Jesus would never stoop to the material things. For him, life was first spiritual and moral. He nowhere expressed this better than in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. And here the Bible reads, "Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul. I ask you this morning, what profit is it to you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? The original questions recur again. What will be left when this tempest is done? What will remain when the present tempest is over? What are the eternal things? And again, I remember that Paul said, it's those things which are not seen that are eternal. The Bible begins with the eternal cornerstone. In the beginning, God. Before everything else and over everything else, as the author of all things, stands the limitless personality of the Almighty God. All eternal values are in Him and through Him. For in Him we live and move and have our continual being. Again, in Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2, David spoke of God in these eloquent words. Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses said, the eternal God is my refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The Son of God is the everlasting personification of mercy, grace, and love. The Word of God is eternal wisdom revealed to man through the sacred pages of the Holy Bible, the Word of God which lives and abides forever. The kingdom of God shall never be moved, a kingdom which is the symbol and substance of eternal victory. The children of God who shall inherit rest in that home where changes never come. These are the eternal things. God the Father, the Son of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God, the kingdom of God, and the children of God. These are the eternal things. Time and circumstance will never overcome these eternal forces. Therefore, I say, hold to the eternal things. Those who hold fast to eternal things can face with confidence, complete confidence, and unshakable courage whatever fate may lie ahead. Even death, the final destroyer of all that is temporal, holds no fears for the fearful, faithful child of God. The Christian who has labored, faithful and true, can say with calm faith, under the wide and starry sky, dig the grave and let me lie. Glad did I live and gladly die, and I laid me down with a will. This be the verse You gave for me. Here he lies where he longed to be. Home is the sailor, home from the sea, and the hunter, home from the hill. Robert Louis Stevenson. Those who hold to eternal things can say these same words the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Do you love His appearing this morning? Therefore, I plead with you to do as Jesus did when He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. In a world gone mad, in a world of uncertainty and death, hold fast to eternal things, for if you overcome, you can come over and live with God. Perhaps you're not yet a Christian and would like to know what to do to be saved, to get the whole picture of what you need to do to be a Christian. You have to go through the New Testament, read it, understand it, and study it. Because it's like a gigantic puzzle where all the pieces fall into place. But I'll condense that down for you this morning. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This means that you must hear his word to obtain faith. You have heard his word this morning. And if you receive that faith, you will believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to earth and died for the sins of the world. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, we read, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. This statement was made by Jesus himself. You must then make the good confession. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, we are told, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then you must repent of your past sins and be immersed in water for the remission of those sins. Peter told those who heard the first gospel sermon some 2,000 years ago to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You find that in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And then Jesus said in Revelation 2 and verse 10b, be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. That crown of life is the reward a Christian receives if he holds fast to eternal things. Are you conducting your life in a manner so that you can receive a crown of life, eternal life in heaven this morning? I pray that you are. If not, don't you want the salvation that Christ is offering you this morning? If you need to respond to the gospel or you have a spiritual need, then why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that Brother Bill has selected.